All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's read the first 6 verses there. Amen. All right, here we go. Let's read. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Okay. So, the thing about the book of Hebrews, and why I've wanted to preach on it for so long, is that it lays out the differences between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Testament, the New Testament. It's the same, but it's two different things. It's two different dispensations. It's two different... there's a lot of difference, let me put it that way, in the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. And the book of Hebrews lays it out. And it all is... it's all about Jesus Christ. He is what made the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. That's why he said, drink, this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for you. So, we're told here to consider Christ, who's the apostle and high priest of our profession. Boy, that covers a lot of offices there. He's talking strictly to the saved. I'll say this first, because his remarks, he addresses his remarks, first of all, holy brethren. Wherefore, holy brethren? Well, that ain't just everybody. A lot of times the word brethren in the Bible does refer to your fellow patriots. I don't know how to say it, your fellow citizens, or to just the Hebrews in general. Jesus said brethren, Paul said brethren, when he wasn't really talking to them as brothers in Christ. This is different. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. So it's clear who he's talking about. Now, or talking to. He then begins to contrast Jesus with Moses to show what a difference. And you wonder why? Well, read the Gospels and you'll see all the references to Moses that the Pharisees made and that others made, that Jesus made concerning them. What did Moses tell you? You know, Moses suffered you to put away your wives. They looked to Moses as almost God, really. They really did. And so they held Moses in the highest esteem as far as their religion and their faith and all that. He was the top man. He's the one that received the law from God. He's the one who had all the ordinances from God and gave them to the people of Israel, concerning the tabernacle and everything. Getting ahead of myself a little bit, but maybe some were inclined to believe that Jesus was just a great prophet like Moses. Some of them said so. Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" to his disciples, and they said, "Well, some say you're Moses, and some say you're Elias, and some say you're one of the prophets," and all of that. He had just proved the writer here of Hebrews, which I believe it was Paul. I can't prove that, and I wouldn't argue about it with anybody about it, but I don't know who else it could have been. But anyway, a lot of people were inclined to believe that Jesus was just a great prophet. That's what the Muslims believe now. That's what a lot of people believe, that he was just a great man. You know, he was a good man. He was a prophet. But he had just proved here, the writer had, and stressed the humanity of Jesus. You remember last week what we talked about, Hebrews 2:14 through the end of the chapter there, about Jesus, the Son of Man, had to be. He was human. He was just like us, partaker in all things, just like us. He's made likened to us in every aspect. But now he is stressing his divinity also, while at the same time keeping that his humanity right out there in front. If you read these verses we just read here, he speaks about his human, his ministry here on earth in the flesh, but he's also giving him credit for being the creator of all things. He's the one who built the house.
Yeah.
And the one who builds the house is worthy of more glory than the house.
That's right.
The house didn't do nothing. It's just there because somebody built it. And he said, that's what we got here. Moses was a servant. But Jesus is the master himself.
Yes.
Moses was a prophet. He was somebody special. But Jesus is even more so. He said, Solomon was something. But he said, a greater than Solomon is here. You got to get that. That's one of the major differences in the Old Testament, the New Testament. So what makes the New Testament? Jesus has come. God himself has come. So Moses was only a part of the house himself. The house. Well, what's he talking about? We'll look at the end of what we read there. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. He's building a house. Well, it's the people of God. It's what God is reaping out of all of the earth, his people, from all the ages, that he is going to take to heaven with him, to dwell for eternity. That's the house. Moses was a servant in the house, but Jesus built the house. And then he came here and presented himself in person. Moses was only part of the house himself and a servant in the house that God was building, but Jesus is the one who built the house. Because the Jews made so much of Moses, it was necessary to compare him with Christ, to set down the differences and to put each one in his place. Otherwise, you're not going to understand the New Testament. Otherwise, you're not going to make the right difference between what has been changed as far as on our end of this deal. John 9 and verse 28 and 29. We read this morning. The blind man, the man that was born blind. But then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, speaking of Jesus, we know not from whence he is. No wonder he said, thou blind Pharisee. Thou blind Pharisee. Wednesday we talked about being born of the Spirit and being able to see. They couldn't see. Here he is, the builder of the house that they claim to be a part of and servants in, and they don't even know him. This is one of the great differences between the old and the new. God spoke in the past by the prophets and by angels. Remember that in chapter 1? God, who in sundry times and divers manners spake unto us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So, we're admonished here to consider him who built the house. That is, the redeemed people of God who will inhabit eternity in the very presence of God. God is redeeming out of a sinful world a people, a nation. He calls us a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a citizen of the United States? Well, I guess you can call me that, but that's not what I go by. I live here, so I guess I'm a citizen here for the time being, but my real citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
It's with the people of God. I'm a Christian first,
yes,
and above all. It trumps everything else.
Yes.
Family, nation, everything. I'm a Christian first. So God's redeeming that kind of people. And he's going to take them to himself. and bring him to the very place where he abides to live with him for eternity. See, that's the whole thing. That's the whole plan of God throughout all the ages. That's been his plan. He's told us through Moses, through all the prophets. He told Adam and Eve in the garden. Abraham knew. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. And he knew. He knew all this stuff. They knew. We talked about David and how much he understood and knew of God's plan of redemption. But boy, something changed when Jesus came. When Jesus came and was born on this earth and lived and spoke on this earth, it made a big difference. Consider him. Consider that he was faithful. That's the first thing it talks about here. Consider that he was faithful in all his house. Moses was faithful in all his house, and Moses was just a man. That tells me that I ought to be faithful. Right. Tells me that you ought to be faithful. Yes. He was a man. And besides that, he was a man born in Egypt.
Yeah. Right.
There wasn't any worse place, I guess, that you could have been born on the earth back in them days as far as your chances of finding out about God and knowing about God. And he was born in Egypt. He was raised in the home of a Pharaoh of Egypt. I mean, boy, it couldn't be a worse situation as far as your relationship to God and the hope for your soul. But that's where Moses was born. That's where he was raised. A man who the wicked world offered its best and had the best shot at his soul.
Yeah.
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you know what else it says? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ, and that's thousands of years before Christ came to this earth. So he knew.
Oh, yeah.
And so Moses was something, and Moses knew. A man who spoke with God and received God's law and commandments, and Moses was faithful in all of this. He was the man. Whom God chose to set up the house. Think about it. The law came by Moses.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the plans for the tabernacle,
sure,
for the furniture, for the sacrifices, for the priesthood, for everything.
Yep.
He was the man who God chose to tell the world all about what all this meant. Of men who were involved in revealing and relating to the world God's plan of salvation and redemption, Moses was undoubtedly the greatest until Christ came to this earth. You got Isaiah and Jeremiah, and you got all the prophets and Daniel, and oh my, just think of all that's in there. David. But Moses to Christ. It doesn't compare Christ with David, even though he's the son of David. Doesn't compare Christ with any of the other prophets, no matter who they were. But Moses. Consider Christ. Consider our high priest. Well, consider him compared to Moses. Moses was faithful in all his house. That's what the scripture tells us here. God appointed Moses to be a testimony of Christ that was to come. There in that verse, 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. God appointed Moses to be a testimony of Christ that was to come, and he was faithful in it. He was faithful to be a testimony about that. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, Moses wrote this down. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, and that's with a capital P.
Yep.
So it's not just another prophet like me. Right. No, he's talking about somebody special. Unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me unto him ye shall hearken. So we ought to give the more earnest heed to what Jesus said. You don't understand the gospel best from the Old Testament. You understand it best from the New Testament.
That's right.
You understand it best from the words of Christ himself.
Yeah.
Not that you can't go back to the Old Testament and see in hindsight now, clearly. Now, isn't that what we always say?
Yes.
Hindsight's
better.
Yeah. In hindsight, you can see. Well, that's what we're doing when we're looking back to the Old Testament. We can look at David, and we can look at Abraham, and we can look at Moses, and Noah, and everybody, and Adam, and everything, and we can see. Oh, yeah. But at that time, there was a veil over things.
Yes, that's right.
They couldn't understand. It was shadows, and types, and pictures, and insinuations. It was God showing them, but because the Holy Spirit wasn't given, they couldn't see clearly until Jesus came. And now, we, you sitting here this morning, have no excuse. We are without excuse to not understand.
That's right.
That's right. It's so strong and so convincing, and the power of the gospel is so mighty. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I read this morning, Finney was talking about it, and he said that, you know, people hear the gospel and the Spirit of God strives with them, and people argue that they don't have the power to be saved and they can't turn away from their sins and their inability. Foundation of Calvinism and everything. And Finney said it's really just the opposite. He said you barely have the power to resist.
That's the truth.
Yeah. You have to struggle with all your might to say no. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, Jesus said. In Luke 24:27, the Emmaus disciples, I mentioned them quite often lately, but he said, the Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Moses and the prophets. Moses and the prophets. Moses and the prophets. In Luke 16, the rich man in hell, that's what was said to him. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And John chapter 1, verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We found him. That's not the only time the disciples said that. There was another one. Anyway, I guess I didn't write it down. Andrew, when he came to Peter, he said, we found him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We found the Messiah. That's what he said. Having therefore, let's see, Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God. Now this is Paul. I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come.
Mm-hmm.
See, I ain't saying nothing new. It's been told from Moses. It began with Moses and the prophets. It's been written down. And I'm just showing you that it's happened. He has come. So consider him. Acts 28 and verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, talking about Paul again, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. Jesus himself in Luke 24 there used Moses and the prophets to show them who he was. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So the New Testament just ties it all together, see? He's calling on us to consider the life of Christ here in His earthly ministry and how He was faithful in all of it. Just considering how faithful He was. Christ wasn't a new thing. I've read you enough scripture here for you to understand that He was not a new thing. He was the Passover. Or He is the Passover. He wasn't a new idea or a new plan. He was what the whole thing was about from the beginning. You know, I can say those words over and over, but until it really dawns on your soul the truth of that, you just really don't, you don't get the thrill of it. You don't understand. You don't really see. He was appointed by the same God who appointed Moses. See, the humanity of Christ. You can't leave it out. Though He were a son. Yeah. He was the Son of God. But He was the Son of man. He had to be to fulfill the law. To be the sacrificial lamb. He was appointed by God who appointed Moses. Moses was appointed. He was out there on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Done resigned himself to this is my life. Egypt was far away, long ago and far away. And so were the people of God. Until one day, you know, he saw a bush on fire. And the Bible says Moses turned aside to see this great sight. Why? The bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. Well, guess what was really going on? First thing God said is, I'm sending you to Egypt. Oh, no, no. He was appointed. That's my point. He didn't volunteer. And nothing like that. God just spoke to him and told him what he was going to do. And Moses tried every way in the world not to. But he couldn't resist. He was appointed. Christ. Do you think he argued with God about it? Said, I can't do it. No, he was the only hope. He was the only hope for lost humanity. The only hope of salvaging any from God's creation. It was all lost except for him. God appointed him. He was sent to the same people that Moses was sent. Came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But God never did intend to just save Israel and let everybody else go to hell. God never did give up on the Gentiles. There was never a time when God said, I'm just going to save this many people who got their pedigrees and the rest of them, I don't care about. It was never that way. Israel was a chosen people to get the message of God to the whole world. That's what it amounted to. And then there's this age of the Gentiles, time of the Gentiles, the church age, which is about over, by the way.
Right.
When it's not Israel that's carrying the banner, not Israel that's carrying the torch, it's not Israel that's the light of the world, it's the Gentiles who are saved, who've been grafted in. We're the children of Abraham by faith.
Yes.
And those are the only ones that really count. Mm-hmm. You can have the blood of Abraham running in your veins and go right straight to hell.
Right.
Faster than anybody. Mm-hmm. That's not what God looks at. He doesn't look at pedigrees and everything. If you've got the faith of Abraham, you're a child of Abraham.
Yes.
He used what he had given to Moses to prove who he was. I just read you a bunch of scriptures where Paul and Jesus himself, and I could give you more than what I've got here. But he referred to Moses and the prophets. He went to Moses and the prophets, and he used that scripture to show and prove who he was. Search the scriptures. You think they give you eternal life? They're what talk about me. You can't look through your Bible, Old Testament or New, without finding Jesus everywhere. He was the fulfillment. He was the completion. Jesus was the faith made sight of the law. Think about it. We talk about when our faith is made sight. For now we walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus was the law made flesh. I mean, he was their faith made sight. You're looking at him. He was the Word when he walked on this earth. He is the Word of God. He used what he'd given Moses to prove who he was, and he was the fulfillment and the completion of the law of Moses. And the things that Jesus spoke were the things that last verse talked about, Moses being a testimony of the things which should be spoken after. The things Jesus spoke were those things that Moses said, he'll finish this up. When Jesus comes, he'll tell us all things, just like the woman at the well. See, she said, we know that when Messiah's come, he'll tell us all things. He'll finish up the story. He'll tell us the rest of it. We'll understand it all then. She was right about that. He was the fulfillment of the law. And not just the sacrificial law and all of that. The things that Jesus spoke were the things spoken after that Moses testified would be revealed. John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses. This is John the Baptist said this. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I preach and preach about what grace is. If you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you don't have as much of God's influence on your life.
That's right.
See, the New Testament, after Jesus died and was resurrected and went back to heaven and he sent the Holy Ghost, that's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
He dwells in us. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. Grace is bound to increase. His influence on our life is bound to increase if he lives in us. Jesus was faithful in coming as he'd promised to come. He promised through Moses and the prophets that he was coming. Behold, a woman shall conceive and bear a son. All the prophecies of him coming, he came. He was faithful because he came, just like he said he would. He was faithful in fulfilling every prophecy concerning himself, down to details.
Yes.
Riding the donkey into Jerusalem. So many things. There's much more than we even know about, because we've never recognized it. But everything he did. And a lot of times it tells us he did this, he said that, to fulfill what was written in the prophets concerning him, blah, 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 blah. So he was faithful. He didn't miss nothing. He fulfilled everything that the prophets said about him. He was the final word in the promises of God, since he fulfilled the promises. When he was on the cross and he cried, "It is finished," he meant that God's plan of redemption and its provision was fully revealed once and for all. It's finished. The sacrifice for sin is complete. All that Moses said, all the prophets said, all that God has related to the world up until now, this is it. This is why the canon is closed. This is why these preachers that say, "I got a word from God," are lying. We don't get words from God now except from this book. It's finished.
Yes.
It was finished when Jesus said it was finished.
Yes.
And so we got it right here. We don't just have what Moses and the prophets said. We got what he said. Consider him. Better consider him. And he better not get your religion all sorted out without considering him first. Because he's the main cog in this whole thing. The earthly side of the story is complete. The next scene will be in heaven. If he has been faithful in everything so far, he'll be faithful in what he has yet promised. That last verse talks about if we continue. Let me find the verse here. Well, I'm looking at it. Right here it is. Verse 6. But Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. What we're hoping for? Oh, the rest of what he promised.
Yes, sir.
He's coming back. He's coming again for his church. That's the next thing. I don't care what all the naysayers say. I don't care what all the apostates who've forsaken every standard of holiness and righteousness and poisoned their doctrine with worldliness and everything. I don't care what they say.
Amen.
The next thing that's happening is Jesus is coming for his church.
Yes.
And it ain't going to upset the world. They're not even hardly going to notice it when it happens. The people who are redeemed, the people who understand this, the people who can see and are born of the Spirit, they're going to disappear from this old world. And there's going to be left not one soul on this earth that understands. Think about that.
Yeah.
Total darkness. Spiritual darkness. You think they're few and far between now? They are. But I can still find them.
Yeah.
You can still find them. You can still talk to people that understand to one degree or another.
Right.
And when the lights are completely out, what is this going to be? I don't want to be here.
No.
Thank God I'm not going to be here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He's been faithful in everything that he said. He's going to be faithful in what's coming yet. He's coming to judge the world. All the dead, both righteous and wicked, will be resurrected. That is more sure than the sun is going to come up in the morning in the eastern sky. It is a sure, for a fact, you better believe it. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You better rest assured that God is. Jesus, to whom all judgment is given, because he's the Son of Man. That's what the Bible says. I read it just the other day. I pointed it out to her and John. I said, see, because he's the Son of Man, all judgment's given to him. He's going to judge both the righteous and the wicked. All's going to be resurrected. He'll judge all people who ever lived for their punishment. And their punishment and reward will both be according to their works. The great white throne judgment, that's the church has already been resurrected. The righteous have already been raised. The white throne judgment is for the wicked. The righteous will be there. Witnesses. All the dead, both great and small, all the dead stood before God. Everything else is gone. And everybody who ever lived is there. And most of those people are alive right now. I've told you that before. Think about it. Most of the people of the human race that have ever lived, most of them, big majority, are alive right now. Don't you wish you could just tell them all what's coming?
Yes, sir.
Warning, warning. We're in the last hour. We're in the last hour of this thing. And almost everybody who ever lived is alive right now. And they could hear if there was any voice to tell them. They could see the light if there was any light to be seen. Consider him of whom the prophets spoke and looked for and sought for diligently. Let me read just a little more scripture here and I'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Are you listening to what the Bible says there? And what I've been talking about? Searching what? The prophets. They searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. Chew on that for a minute. The Spirit of Christ which was in them. The prophets. The Spirit of Christ which was in them. The prophets. Trying to figure out when he's coming. That's what he's talking about. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. I mean, these prophets searched diligently to understand and know, but they finally understood that it wasn't for them to understand, but it was for us. They just had to tell us their part of the revelation, all they knew. They wanted to know more, but they realized that that was for another generation. Y'all learn from that. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things. All right? Then, which the Holy Ghost, and then after which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't really believe that's talking about when he comes. I'm talking about when the revelation of Jesus Christ is to you right now, when you are born again and you see him and know him. Rejoice in the grace and truth revealed to us through Christ, who has come and is coming again. Rejoice if you found him. There's the verse. I thought I'd written it down, but in John 1, verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael. That's the verse I read. Here's the other one. John chapter 1, verse 40 and 41. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Philip knew he'd found him. Andrew knew this is him. John said that's him. And John baptized him, and the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, his mother said. Everybody testified. There was plenty of witnesses to testify who he was. Consider him. Always consider him first above everything else. You got to know him, and then you'll understand everything else. You got to meet Jesus. You got to know him. You got to consider him before you can understand anything else. Otherwise, it'll just be blind, mean, cruel religion like the Pharisees had, which is spiritual evil, not spiritual good. They're not just good old guys that wanted to do right and tried, but they just didn't understand. They fell short. That ain't what it is. They're mean devils. Jesus told them so. He said, you're of your father, the devil. That's who you are. But when you know Jesus, he said, if you were of God, you'd love me. For I came forth from God. He said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, for because you're not of God. It's as simple as that. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for all of the promises that are still yet ahead of us. And for the assurance, Lord, there's We'd have to really try hard not to believe that you're coming again after all you've done in your first coming to fulfill your promises. Lord, I pray you'd help us to keep you in front of everything, that in the church you'd have the preeminence in all things, and that in our heart and mind you'd be first, and that we'd look to you to learn of the doctrine and learn everything. You're the builder of the house, not just another servant in the house. Lord, help us not to be deceived or be fascinated or be wowed by what men say or understand or think they understand. Help us, Lord, to get it straight from Thee. The way into the Holy of Holies is open. We can enter in with boldness now into Your very presence. And we can ask for wisdom. You said you'd give it to any that liketh wisdom. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. You'll help us, and you'll open our understanding, and you'll give us what we need if we just look to you. So help us, Lord, to take this scripture this morning and remember to consider you first in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.